I enjoyed all the music this morning. And Brother Keith, that song was on my heart too. And I was thinking this morning, I really wish they could sing that song right before I preach. But church, I'll say this, and I'm going to open the Bible, Psalms 107. I cannot tell you how many times I've come in this church and talked to Brother Keith, and the same God that's talking to me is talking to him. And I've enjoyed and do enjoy working with Brother Keith. But, you know, what we want is what God wants. And that's what I want any time I preach. I don't want to preach for me. It's not about me. I'm amazed that I get to do it, that God's got me to the point that I guess I could do it. But we want to honor him. Don't you like it when you can feel him? You know, now I say this a lot, but I want you to think about this. Folks, we're not saved by our feelings, but I feel it. And I like to feel it. I'm going to preach this morning about something that's a term. It's in the Bible. A lot of people say, well, I didn't know that was in the Bible. Well, there's a lot of things in the Bible. I want to preach about surviving at wit's end. You ever felt like you were at your wit's end? Sometimes people say, well, I'm at my wit's end. I've heard people say that. We say that. Well, guess where that came from? That came right out of Psalm 107. Now, I want to read you this scripture, and I want to try to bring to you the things that God has laid on my heart. I've been thinking about this all week, trying to seek, you know, what God wants. God's in charge. I'm just a servant, okay? And I say this about a pastor, and this is the same thing about a deacon. You're just a servant. And if you be what God wants you to be, you just surrender to him, you give it to him. It's not about you, it's about him. Ever seen these pastors that when they go out, they got an entourage around them, and you ask, can I make an appointment with a pastor? And they say, well, I don't know if he can see you. You ever seen one of those pastors that the more money you had, the more interest they had in you? What about when God puts somebody in front of you who has nothing? You don't even like the way they smell, but he says, that's the person I want you to minister to. I want you to be my hands. I want you to be my feet. And I want you to go. I got a thought on that too, but it'd take me 2.5 hours to preach it. So we got to get back on track. Yes. But we are and we should be the hands and feet of Jesus. And what does that mean? It doesn't matter whether you're preaching, you preach what God wants. If you're teaching, you teach what God wants. If you're a deacon, you serve.
Amen.
And what we want to do this morning is serve God. Now let's read the scripture together. Psalms chapter 107, we're going to read verse 21 down through verse 30. It says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. They that go down to the sea in ships that do business in great waters. These see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, and they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad, because they be quiet, so he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Now, when you think about wit's end, and I just want to give you just a couple of thoughts. I got some things I want to share, obviously, in the message, but wit's end is a place that we don't like to be. There are times I hear people say, well, I've had just about all that I could stand, and I don't think I could stand anything else. I want to tell y'all, in my life, I've come to the practice that I don't say that anymore. I'll tell you why I don't. Because sometimes you'll make a statement like that, and God hears you. And he says, have you forgotten that I'm in control? Let's just show you a little more. And all of a sudden, you find yourselves in a position, and there's a verse in the Bible that kind of goes along with this. Not an exact quote, but it is in there. I can show you with an iPad. It says, You know, if you've run with a footman and they've wearied you, how are you going to contend with the horses? And in the land of peace and safety wherein thou dwellest, how shall you contend with the rising of the Jordan or the flooding of the Jordan? Here's the point. Sometimes people get to the point, they say, I just can't take any more, when in reality what they're experiencing compared to somebody else might be like this much. We were sitting the other day and we were talking about, you know, I don't know about y'all, you got a family. You know what a family does. You got problems in your family. You know, you got in-laws and outlaws and all the other. And I heard a guy say one time, mixed emotions are this. It's when your mother-in-law drives your new Cadillac off of a cliff. Now, some of y'all will get that after a while. Now, that is just a joke. By the way, I have a great mother-in-law. Great mother-in-law. But family. Sometimes family creates problems. Sometimes family creates challenges. And we were sitting and talking, and I said, well, I guess I'd swap my family for your family. And they said, well, you might not. It's kind of like the guy that went up to heaven. He went there and said, Lord, my cross is just way too heavy. And he says, well, if you can't carry your cross, just go in that room right over there, and you'll find a room full of crosses. You take the cross that you have, and you just put it down, and you find you another cross. But everybody's got to carry their own cross. Right. Isn't that what the Bible teaches us? Amen. The man said, I went in, and I looked around, and I had my cross, and you know, it was heavy. But the more I looked, the more I realized that there were crosses in there that were bigger than mine. There were crosses in there that were broken, and they had things that you had to carry with them that I just didn't think that I could carry. Sometimes that's the way it is in our life. You know, I'm careful to say that I'm at my wit's end, because I want to tell you what I want to do today. I don't want to live for the future, for tomorrow. Remember that? Can't wait to be 25 so my insurance will go down. Can't wait to be this age so I can retire. Heard Charles Stanley asking a question of a young man. What are you going to do? Well, I guess I'm going to go to college. I guess I'm going to go to college. Okay, what then? Well, I guess I'll graduate. Okay, well, what then? Well, I guess I'll get me a job, you know, with a good company, you know, somewhere where I can get promoted. He said, okay, what then? He said, well, maybe I'll open my own business. Okay, well, what then? Yeah. Well, maybe I'll make some money and I can, you know, buy some stuff I want, spend some time relaxing. Okay, what then? Well, maybe I'll retire. What then? When you stand before God, what then? So I've got to the point, I don't live my life for the future. I want to live today the way that God wants me to live. And if I'm walking through a fire, I'm going to walk through it with God. If I'm in a valley, I'm going to walk through it with God. If I'm on a mountain, I'm going to be on the mountain with God. That's why people can't handle mountains. They get on a mountain, they forget where God went. So where are we when we're at our wit's end? Here's where we are. We learn about ourselves. You see, when I'm to the end of myself, I learn who I really am. I learn what's real and what's strong and what's solid and what's going to go and get it done when the going gets tough. But I also learn this. I learn who God is. You see, when you get to your wit's end, you're like Job when he said this. He said, I've heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye hath seen thee. Why? Because sometimes it's in the darkest points of our life that we really learn and understand what it means to have an intimate walk with a living God. You see, if you're going to survive at wit's end, you're going to have to get still and listen to the Lord. Now, and here's what I want you to understand about the scripture that we just read. And I've heard a man say this. He said, you're in a storm, you're coming out of a storm, or you're getting ready to go into a storm. Okay, that's life. He said, but understand this, looking at this scripture, there was a storm. There's a storm that's mentioned in this scripture. Now, that storm was created, designed, and sent by God to teach them something. Sometimes you ever thought about, well, where is God in the middle of my circumstance? I'll tell you where he's at. He's right in the middle of it. Right in the middle of everything that you're going through. When you're going through treatments, he's there. When you're going through the valley, he's there. When you're standing in the middle of the wind blowing and you don't know how you're going to stand up, God is there. And what God wants to do is be there with you and teach you something. You see, if you look at the 30th verse, it says, then are they glad because they be quiet, so he bringeth them unto their desired haven. You know, there's a verse in the New Testament similar to that when it talks about where Peter was tempted. And Peter himself, you know, he went through a fire, he went through temptation, but he learned about it, and he began when he wrote this, "The devil as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist, steadfast in the faith, knowing that these same afflictions are accomplished in the world." And then he goes on and he talks about that after you are tempted a while, he will establish, he will strengthen, and he will settle you. So, you know, weeping, like the saying, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Here's the thing to understand, and I've said this before. Don't get too high when it's high. Don't get too low when it's low. Walk with God in the middle of all of your circumstances. So here's what a wit's end is. It could be a season of suffering. It could be suffering in your life. It could be physical suffering. It could be emotional suffering. And sometimes it could even be spiritual suffering. You know, if you're a Christian and you're saved by the grace of God and you get out of God's will, here's what suffering is coming into church every Sunday, knowing that you know there's a living God, knowing this is where you're supposed to be, but you're out of fellowship with God and you're sitting there not enjoying the Spirit and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit because God has pretty much put you in a position that you're being punished. I don't like that. But that's a season sometimes, and mature Christians nod your head, you know what I'm talking about. Okay? It could be a season of pain. There are people that come to this church that live with pain every day. There are people who live with pain in their back, pain in their feet, pain in their body, pain in their joints. And sometimes, let's just be honest, we ask God. Don't say you never ask God why. We all ask God why. I used to hear preachers preach, "Well, you ought not to ask God why." Well, I'm a preacher telling you, I've asked God why, and I know y'all do, okay? Amen. What about a season of loss? We talked a little bit about that in the past couple of weeks. Sometimes we go through loss, and just to be honest with you, it takes time for us to get in a position that the grace can be poured upon us and we can receive it. Then it could be a season of temptation. You know, I got saved when I was 12, but I still have to keep my eyes on Jesus. So you know what? I'm just like Peter when he stepped out and he started walking to the Lord. Here's what he did. He got to looking around and he saw all the storms and all the waves, and then he began to sink. And he cried, "Lord, save me." God took him by the hand. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, it says this, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." You know, when we hear that, sometimes we go through things as Christians and we think, it's like a fiery trial. It's strange. But it's just like the song that they sang, and I've had people share these exact words with me in conversation with them this week more than one time. Everybody's going through something. Everybody. It's different. I can tell you that my life today at my age is different than it was when I was 15. Amen. But I still have challenges. I still have battles. And what I'm learning is I thought, and I'll say this honestly, I'm going to get into this points in just a minute. But I remember when I was in high school, I thought if I ever get out of high school, I'm going to be able to live for God because I won't have no more peer pressure. Then I went to work in a construction site, being a preacher's son. Remember working on a 6-story building over in Alpharetta, and if it could be bought on the black market or in the streets of Atlanta, they sold it there. Yeah. Amen. And I can remember being around those people. You know what I thought? Working with those guys, and they were rough. If I get away from these guys, I won't have no peer pressure. Yeah. Then I got in the corporate world. And I can remember being in the conference rooms and being around the corner, hearing them talking about me, being the kind of person I was. They say, "Oh, if you just give him time, he'll change. He'll lighten up. He'll quit being such a conservative." Because, you know, I've heard them say, everybody changes. And I listen to that. But I want to tell you something. You know, when it's going to get to where you can live for God is when you sell out to God. And you recognize you can't be perfect, but you have to come bow at his feet and do the things that are necessary to survive when you're at your wit's end. Here's the first one. First one is be courageous. Now, here's what I want you to understand. You can take courage in the Lord, and God wants you to take courage in the Lord. Now, throughout your Bible, you can find these references over and over and over again. And I began to look at this, and I thought about this word, and I thought about what it meant, and I considered Joshua when he was encouraging the people of God. And here's what I want you to understand. He was encouraging them after they had been in the wilderness for 40 years. God brings them out, and he says, we're about to go and cross that great Jordan, and we're going to go conquer that great city. And they're looking around saying, us? We've been in the wilderness for 40 years, and we're going to do something for God? Here's what he said. He said, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. And here's what I want us to understand this morning, if we feel like we're at our wit's end, that God has not led you to the wilderness to die. The wilderness is just sometimes a place we walk through because God is teaching us. Now, here's what God has to do for the Christian, regardless of who you are or what you're like. God knows what your limitations are. And there's a verse for that, and we'll get to it in a minute. But he'll take you to the place that he can teach you, and he can mold you, and he can make you till it's time to bring you out. When God begins to move in your life, be courageous and trust God that God has a plan. God did not lead you to the wilderness to die. God has a plan to take you to the promised land. And he was going to use Joshua to do that. Now he said, you know, you got to take courage. Don't be afraid. Sometimes fear overwhelms us. Now, I want to tell you, as a man, and I think this is true for most men, we absolutely fear not being in control. Amen. I mean, the biggest fear I've ever had in my life was one morning during the middle of the night, about almost time to get up and go to work. I went into the bathroom, and I passed out, and I didn't even know what was going on. I didn't know I passed out till I woke up on the floor. My mouth was busted. I'd hit my elbow and my knee, and I was so disoriented, I had to crawl back to the bed. And when I crawled up in the bed, and my blood pressure, we were going through it. It was 2010. Remember those years? And I crawled up in the bed, and I laid there, and I didn't know what was going on. But I want to tell you what my biggest fear was. My biggest fear but is that when I would not be able to get up and go to work in the morning. It wasn't what's wrong with me. It wasn't as my blood pressure, as my heart. But how am I going to be able to take care of my family? You know what my fear was? My fear was not being in control. Here's what the scripture says in 2 Timothy 1:7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Tell you where the sound mind comes from. It comes from having peace with God. That's how you can make it through wit's end, is you go through it with God. See, first is be courageous. Now, here's number two, be continuous. Well, what do you mean by that? It's very simple. Don't quit. I can't tell you how many times I've seen people get to the point. They say, I don't understand what's going on in my life. I don't understand these storms. They question God, and they quit on God. Amen. You know, you quit because you've had a loss. You quit because you've had trouble. Sometimes what you got to do is you got to be like Joshua was. And you find this over in Joshua chapter number 5 and verse number 13. Remember the story where, you know, he's about to lead the people. He's got all this responsibility, and he sees Jericho over there, and God's told him something to do. And I can almost see him walking out to a place where he can just think. Sometimes I do that. I just go find a quiet place. All of a sudden, he looks over, and there's a man drawn with his sword in his hand. You ever been tired, and you say, I'm at my wit's end, and one more thing? That's about the way it was for Joshua. I believe he was tired. I believe he had a load on him. And all of a sudden he looked around and they said, one more. Sometimes you just want to say, here's what people do. They throw the sword down and they say, I'm done. Yeah. Joshua didn't do that. He said this. He said, are you for us or against us? Are you for us or are you for our adversaries? Basically, here's what you got to do. You got to get some glue that pulls you and sticks you to the things of God. Amen. You know, God loves you and God cares for you. And I want to tell you, we care for you. But sometimes what you need is to get some stickum to where you're going to walk with God and you're going to stay with God no matter what. I'm going to hang in there. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. I'm not going to quit. I will not be weary. What does the scripture say in Galatians 6:9? And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now, let me tell you what will happen if you quit. If you quit, your kids are going to quit. And if you can't quit while your kids are little or while your kids are teenagers, you may decide you're going to trust God 5 or 10 or 15 years from now, but all of a sudden you're going to have lost your influence and you're going to try to get them to come back to church and you've lost the opportunity. Don't quit. Be continuous. Now here's what you need to do in the middle of it. Sometimes you got to prepare for what's next. I can just about see Joshua standing down there. I don't know if you've ever been battle weary, but I have. Sometimes I get battle weary, but I'm tired. But I tell you what I know is I know I'm on the right path. For Joshua, he was preparing. What's next for him was Jericho. You look at another example. You remember the story of David? And he was down there and he went and he saw the lion. I want to tell you something. It was a lion and a bear that took him to the point that he could stand and face the giant. Can you just about see him as a shepherd boy saying, I'm at my wit's end. There's a lion over there. But God delivered him from the lion. And then all of a sudden, he says, I can't take any more. And he looks and there's a bear over there. And the bears are bigger than the lions. I'd rather fight a lion than a bear. And God delivers him from the bear. And he says, I just don't think I can take any more. I fought a lion. I fought a bear. And God says, go check on your brothers. And he gets down there and he said, Lord, that's a giant. I can't take any more. Here's what God wants you to understand. If he brings you through it, he will bring you through it. Amen. What about Joseph? Can you imagine what it would be like to be sold into slavery, become a slave in somebody's house? Because you serve God, you get thrown into prison. And while he's down there in prison, he interprets a dream. All along, God had a great and a marvelous plan. Wasn't comfortable through those years. But the next thing for Joseph was God had a plan for him to be second in the kingdom of Egypt. He led him before his own people so that he was able to save his people. But here's something very significant about what Joseph did. Among his brothers was Judah, which is of the bloodline where Jesus came from. You have no idea when you stand for God, the little things that you do, what it's going to do to impact and change somebody else's life. What about old Peter? Can you see him when he's denying the Lord? And the third time he goes up to him. I almost see in my mind, see it like this. And I know it's not exactly the same. But have you ever stood around a fire barrel on a job site? I have. You go up to the fire barrel, and they got the stuff in it, and you start hearing the talk. I just see Peter as he walked up to the fire, and they said, well, surely you're one of them. Your speech betrays you. He denies the Lord, and he turns, and immediately his eyes meet the Lord's eyes. Now, you know what was next for Peter? When Peter got to that place, and sometimes we don't always get it right when we're at our wit's end, do we? Sometimes we complain God. Sometimes we're even what Job's wife told him, just curse God and die. Sometimes we get to the point that we're at our end. But when we turn and repent like Peter did, you know what was next for Peter? Is preaching on the day of Pentecost. When 2,000 plus got saved, the church was established and people began to come to God. You see, you got to be continuous and you got to keep going. You say, you don't understand, I failed. God knows you failed and he loved you anyway. He died for you just like you are. You got to be courageous. You got to be continuous. And here's what God wants you to do this morning. He wants you to be comforted. I want you to think about this. You can be in the middle of a storm. We played two songs this morning, two versions. One of them was an old contemporary song back when contemporary music was played on AM radio. That's right, young people. I can remember I lived up in Ellijay, and I was driving to that rough job site in Alpharetta. The contemporary radio stations was 920 AM and 970. Some of you might remember that. But they played this song, Sometimes He Calms the Storm. He lets the winds and waves go wild. Sometimes he calms the storm, but other times he calms his child. Now, the McCameys came out with a song very similar to that. We played it, and they called it He Calms Me, but the message is the same. Whether you like contemporary or Southern gospel, you got both versions this morning. Have you ever been there to where it's just, it's difficult and you're fighting it and you're fighting so hard that what you're doing, you're not just fighting the circumstance, you're fighting God. And what God does, and I want him to do this, if you've never prayed this way, I say, Lord, I can't change this. I can't make this better. I can't fix it. Would you please just give me peace? And God, you know what we do? We resist. Even when the peace comes, when the grace comes, we resist. What God wants you to do is just be still. Be still and know that I am God. Yes. And he puts his hands on you and he comforts you. And he lets you know. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. It says, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. You ever said, I just can't bear it? Alone you cannot, but you can with God. The Bible says that the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. See, it's not, we can't do it ourselves. He wants us to be at peace, but here's something else God wants in the midst of wit's end. Is he wants you to be counseled. Scripture says that they reel to and fro till they reach their desired haven. What does it mean to be counseled? You allow God to teach you. In the midst of your circumstance, in the midst of your trouble. And here's what God wants to do. He wants to take this stony heart and he wants to grab hold of it. And he wants to work it. Any of you ever worked modeling clay when you first start on it? It's hard and it's cold. You got to get it in your hands. You begin to mold it and it begins to warm up. And as it warms in your hand, you can mold it and shape it. And sometimes people say, well, I'm a grown man. I'll never cry. You're missing something. I want to tell you something. The times that I'm able to get where it's just me and God and I'm able to see a tear run down my face, that's the time that I feel God's hand on me. You see, tenderness is good. And what tenderness does, it is the sign of a receptive heart. In Psalms 34 and 18, the scripture says this. Says, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save us such as be of a contrite spirit. Another place I want to read is Psalms 51 and 17. It says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. Then if you go to Isaiah 66 and 2, it says this. To this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit. See, here's what tenderness does. Tenderness leads to conviction. And when we have conviction, it changes us and moves us into a place that is pleasing to God. And then conviction is good because it leads to growth. And growth is good because it brings us closer to God. You see, well, I don't understand why I'm in this. Well, when you come out of it, are you any closer to God? Are you any better? Are you farther from God? You see, you can survive wit's end, but you got to have courage, you got to continue, and you got to let God speak to you. And I'm going to give you this one. This is the last one. If you're a child of God, remember that you're a child of God. Be confident, okay? We don't serve a maybe God. We don't serve a dead God. We don't serve one of the gods. We serve the God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 18, he said this, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, alive forevermore. forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Amen. It's kind of like this. Y'all have heard that term, large and in charge. Okay? That's God. I mean, get a hold of it. You are a child of God.
Amen.
You may be in a boat. It may be rocking. The wind may be blowing. But God's got you. He's got you in His hand. And if He saves you here, He's going to do it for His glory. He wants to teach you. He wants you to honor Him. But when I leave here, guess where I'm going? I'm going to be with God. You see, Satan wanted to be like the Most High. He wanted to be like Him. That word is, the Most High is El Elyon. You ever heard, remember those old commercials? Now, some of you young people, this may be too dated for y'all. It's just as good as a Xerox. Y'all remember that? It's not that way with God. He's not just as good. He's it. And if you're saved by the grace of God, you're a child of God, you just get a hold of that. And you hold on to Him, and you know that no matter where you go or what you're doing, He's got it.
Yes.
And if you trust Him and you walk with Him, He'll lead you through it. See, our God's greater than the devil. Our God is greater than men.
Yes.
And our God is greater than anything we face.
Yes.
So how do I survive at wit's end? I just get a hold of God. I'm just going to walk with Him. I might have to go through it. I don't want to go through certain things in life. We got people going through it. And there's people not here this morning that want to be in this church service with us that are going through it. Some of them, we try to counsel with them. I'm sure some of you have too. And we just try to help them, encourage them in the Lord. But they'd rather be here. But they're going through it. Some of them feel like they're at their wit's end. And here's what you can do. If everything's good at your house, reach out to them. Maybe there's somebody here this morning that feels like, you know, I just felt like I've been at my wit's end. Won't you come talk to God? Stay with Him. Hold on to His hand. Walk with Him. Somebody here this morning, you say, well, what's all this about? I want to tell you what it's about. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You're not here by chance. You're not here as a happenstance. You were created by God for the purpose of God and the image of God, and your life will never be complete until you walk with God.
Yes.
And if Jesus Christ has never been accepted in your life as your personal Savior, there's nothing more important you'll ever do in your life. Nothing. The question, what then? What then? Well, I want to do so and so. What then? I'm going to ask him to get ready with a song. Friday, I went to a funeral of a friend of mine, a guy that I worked with for 14 years. 57 years old, got to feeling bad at work. Went home on Thursday and had a massive stroke. They found him. He never regained consciousness. He passed away at Kenistone, I think, just as soon as they got him there. You know, he lived his life. He was a great guy, a great man. We don't expect that. What are your plans? What are your plans? Graduate from college? Graduate from high school? Buy that vacation home? Go on that world-class trip? What then? You're here this morning, and God's speaking to your heart, if you would, as you stand to your feet. You can come down and see me or Brother Allen. We'd be glad to pray with you, help you understand. You speak to Miss Martha or Miss Melissa or Kendra or Tracy. Some of these ladies will pray with you. Be glad to help you. And I'll tell you why. Because you are important to God. Go ahead and play.
So many dangers, and toils of this life, I have already come, and He keeps on giving the grace and the strength to just keep pressing on. He's given a promise, and I am gonna stand on every word His holy word has said. And holding His hand, I'll never fear whatever lies ahead. Trusting that He's worthy.